the rest of the story. Once upon a prohibition, 3804 3rd Avenue in the Bronx, there sat a seedy little speakeasy named Marino's. 27-year-old Tony Marino, proprietor. One bleak night, January 1933, Tony and four of his cronies sat glumly in a corner of the lattermost establishment, pondering their dire financial straits. "Business is bad," Marino muttered. The others nodded. But then 24-year-old Francis Pasqua nudged Tony. "I have an idea," he said, gesturing in the direction of the shabby little drunk slumped over the bar. "We could take out a life insurance policy on that fellow and then let nature take its course." The five of them laughed uproariously. But their laughter belied the inception of one of the most remarkable conspiracies in American history. For seized by the simple genius of Pasqua's plan, the group found a cooperative insurance agent. They took out three policies on the drunk at the bar. One Michael Malloy, age 60, a lifelong alcoholic. Malloy was surely already perilously debilitated. All that was left then was for Tony to offer him unlimited credit at the speakeasy and wait for the old man to drink himself to death. But after a week of guzzling whiskey from noon to night, the heavily insured Mr. Malloy seemed more refreshed than ever. So Marino's bartender, one of the co-conspirators, decided to hasten the process, started serving Malloy automobile radiator antifreeze. The latter downed a half dozen shots of antifreeze that night and passed out, and that ought to have done it. But it didn't. For Michael Malloy not only came to and asked for more, but he drank double and triple shots of antifreeze, day and night, for the entire week following, apparently utterly unscathed. Now the plotters tried serving him turpentine, and then horse liniment laced with rat poison. They fed him tainted raw oysters and spoiled sardines with carpet tacks sprinkled on top. Oh, no, that's right, carpet tacks. And, in fact, sheet metal shavings, all of which the intended victim washed down with a tumbler of wood alcohol, only to return for more. Clearly nothing the five partners fed Michael Malloy was going to kill him. So they waited for him to pass out one night at the bar, took him outside in a 14-below snowstorm, dumped him in some bushes, poured 5 gallons of water on him, and left him there. He was back at noon the next day, complaining of a cold, but still thirsty. So they got Malloy falling down drunk again. They dragged him out into the street. They hit him with a car going 45 miles an hour. They ran over him a couple of times for good measure. And Malloy came back for more. Prohibition ran out that year, and so did the luck of Tony Marino and his co-conspirators. Well, they finally managed to murder Michael Malloy, and yet in their desperation, they were forced to employ the rather obtrusive means of shoving a gas pipe down his throat and opening the valve. So the authorities discovered the plot, and all that you have just learned came out at the trial, and the bad guys got the chair, but their victim, he is famous even yet. Sometimes called the 20th century's most durable human being. So in the end, his murderers failed to destroy the indestructible Michael Malloy, because in trying so preposterously hard to annihilate him, instead, they made him immortal. Now you know the rest of the story.